This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher alongside Amal Shah, who's sitting in for Michael Lombardi. The big guy will be back tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line, so look forward to seeing Michael and get well. As we welcome you back, we do have a final in Qatar. Portugal lucky to walk away with a 3-2 win over Ghana. You've got another match coming up later today in just about, 59 minutes, Amal. Serbia taking on the favorites at the World Cup there in Qatar. Brazil, you got to lay 231 to win one on Brazil money line. You got to lay a goal minus 140, so a little juice with Brazil on the spread. You got a 2.5 total. Something else you and I are going to discuss. Tomorrow, the U.S. men's national team takes on England. Mm-hmm. I am so frustrated. I cannot even explain to you. I don't like the overall makeup of the U.S. team anyway, just because I think it's a lot of individually very quality, talented players.
Sure.
But Berhalter is completely over his head, and he's the head coach there of the U.S. men's national team. That draw against Wales, substitution-wise, the patterns were ridiculous, and also not being able to adjust to a Wales team that really has two players pressing in that second half was disastrous from the U.S. squad.
You know, Patrick, I always tell you you're the best host in the business. And
oh, goodness.
You know, are you trying to tick me off right now? What are we doing, sitting Gio Reyna for 2026?
I mean, what is going on here? I just think it's the most talented U.S. squad we've ever seen.
I agree.
But maybe the least continuity we've ever seen. There is no gel amongst this team.
And you know what? And you know, I mentioned it earlier that there's the lack of ability to kind of get ready for the run-up for the World Cup because everybody's involved in club play in Europe and the MLS just concluding their season. I wish the United States of all the teams had that time to be able to prepare. I think they need it more than these other teams. And now you look at a game against England, Harry Kane questionable with an ankle injury. But does it really matter? You got Raheem the Dream. Marcus Rashford comes in for 1 minute. I think he might have scored about 58 seconds into his substitution. Jack Grealish on the bench. I mean, they've got depth for days. I'm sorry?
They're loaded.
And the U.S., I think, needed that tune-up time and more than anybody. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get it. Hopefully tomorrow, you know, we had Dallin Cuff on our show earlier this week, and I said, U.S. 3-0 tomorrow. He goes, if the U.S. wins 3-0 tomorrow, he goes, there's a chance I'm getting arrested tomorrow night. And, you know, hopefully we see something where they're actually able to come through. I felt like a loss against Wales when they ended up with that Gareth Bale penalty kick. I thought that was a terrible challenge. Bale was not going to beat you with his back to the goal in that situation. The U.S. has got to be better. Berhalter's got to do a better job with this squad. They've got two games. They've got an opportunity here. Look, it's not going to be easy against the English, but you've got a great opportunity. And then on the flip side, you close out in that game against Iran. Great chance for them as well to be able to get through this group, I still believe.
England, big-time favorites, Amal, minus 182 on the money line. Of course, coming back the other way, Detroit, you can get a 5-1 number. Excuse me, I said Detroit. I'm thinking home teams, USA. 5-1 coming back the other way, 2.5 on the goal total tomorrow. We'll get to it. It is Thanksgiving, so the tradition is football. Since 1934, the Detroit Lions. Since 1966, that sandwich game with the Cowboys. And remember, in 06, we added the third game. The third game tonight will be Minnesota hosting the Patriots. We'll get you to that cap next. Just quickly an update there in Detroit. Amal, Detroit struck first. Here comes Allen the other way. It's going to be 3rd and 6 on the Detroit 20. What have you seen so far in this matchup?
Touchdown, Buffalo.
That's a beautiful pass.
It was, absolutely right. And they hit this one to Isaiah McKenzie. Good thing in this one he didn't have to make a decision whether he wants to stay in bounds or out of bounds. But
I knew you were going to say that.
I already knew you knew because you started laughing before I even said it. For people that don't know what I'm referencing, the Georgia product didn't go out of bounds against the Dolphins. Would have given him a chance to hit the game-winning field goal in that one. But fortunately for him, the clock stops on the touchdown. And you know what? That's the one thing I always appreciated when John Madden was doing the games. He'd always let us know after the punt the clock is going to stop.
Thanks, John. Here's the extra point attempt to tie it up at 7. Still 1:58 to play in the first. They're at Ford Field.
No good.
What? It's no
good. Oh, it's good.
I'm sorry. It's correct.
It's good. I saw somebody in the crowd.
From my vantage point, it looked like it was, it looks like he had missed it. So that always seems like it's going to be the difference. But 7-7, no surprise. Got a couple of touchdowns early here in the first. Again, that total close 54.5 of them all.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Patrick, some car just drove by us and we're about a quarter mile from the street. I could feel the bass in this studio.
And that's probably not your car, because I can imagine you don't really have subwoofers or a lot of bass in your whip. Is that fair?
As they say in poker, good read.
I was thinking about you earlier. We're going to get to New England, headed to Minnesota, the nightcap tonight on Thanksgiving. Do you, let's have a little fun with Amal Shaw. Do you listen to music?
Not that much. And I'm probably keeping There's it retro. No probably like Say, Say, Say is probably a new song for me in the car.
Here's why I ask, because Amal is a deep thinker. I would think that it's kind of superfluous, maybe a waste of time to listen to music when he can just spend time by himself in his own mind, and that keeps him entertained.
Well, that's one way to think you're smart. If you don't listen to anybody else, then nobody could tell you actually how dumb you are.
We'll talk about the Giants and Cowboys more with Mike Somich coming up in about 6 minutes. How about New England, Minnesota?
Yeah.
It's kind of a contrast in a juxtaposition with New England. That defense is playing very well. Judon's a very underrated player. He's always in the mix. But Mac Jones and Patricia are a marriage made in hell, and this offense has no flow to it. I mean, they just really never have a rhyme or reason. And, you know, this is a really good spot for the Patriots. You'd think it's a good spot for Minnesota with the bounce back, but New England can match up well. They're catching three, and the total's 42.5 in the nightcap here.
Yeah, by the way, does anybody really represent the Peter principle more than Matt Patricia? I mean, you talk about a level of incompetency that just cannot be duplicated. This guy didn't do anything in Detroit. He becomes the offensive coordinator, which I don't even understand. You know, nobody questioned it because it was Bill Belichick. If it was 31 other coaches around the league, it would have been the lead story on every NFL show. And, you know, to me, it's just disgusting how poorly this team has played. They've been fortunate. They've got two guys at running back that really run hard, and Stevenson and Harris. I really like both of those guys. But other than that, I don't understand the affinity for Minnesota. For New England. Patrick, this is one of those games to me where if Minnesota doesn't lose, I live with the result. But I'm taking the Vikings here.
You may want to target Minnesota in the first quarter. They're laying a half plus 125. The Patriots have scored a low 15 first quarter points and no touchdowns this year to add to their offensive struggles. We know about Minnesota in prime time. He is 10-18 straight up in night games, 3-5 on Thursday night games. And his one primetime game or night game this year against the Eagles, he threw three interceptions. I don't know what it is. Something about that, his biological clock. It's just he does not pop at night, but Cousins has struggled. I look for the Vikings. Again, it's an up-down league. They dreadful performance. They stay home. They don't have to travel on this short week. You look for them to bounce back. Darius Shaw missing at left tackle is a big deal because he's one of their best players. And again, when he went out with the concussion, Micah Parsons was able to get busy. Judon should be able to as well. And the Patriots do generate pressure on the quarterback.
I tend to agree with you. I think you'll see some screens. I would look at Dalvin Cook prop play over in terms of receiving yardage. I think Dalvin could have a big day because you mentioned that with Judon. You don't want to sit there and keep Kirk Cousins upright. I mean, he's going to be, you can't, he just takes too long sometimes to get rid of the football. You got to make him get rid of it quickly if you're the Vikings offense. You're not worried about it because New England eventually is going to get home. You mentioned Christian Darrisaw being out. That's a big blow for this Minnesota offensive line.
Let me give you the number. I'll try to find that number as far as the prop on Cook. I, you know, it's funny you said that as far as the pressure that potentially Mac Jones and also Cousins could feel. You know, it's interesting with Jones. What they've been doing is they don't have a deep threat. They do not push the ball down the field. It's kind of the recipe you want to use against the Vikings, who are one of the worst teams in football as far as yak. You get the ball out quickly. The Vikings don't tackle well. So I think you're going to see that strategy from the Patriots, who just, they literally don't have a downfield threat this year. They don't push the ball.
Well, the reality is they probably haven't had one since 2007. Everyone they seem to draft a receiver just never is successful there. And I don't know if they just don't believe that the receiver position is that important. But can you imagine if they had a Justin Jefferson type of receiver over the last couple of decades outside of that 1 year with Moss in 07?
That's a tremendous point. As Detroit's backed up, 3rd and 10 after Cook takes the sack on their own 27. Looks like they're going to get a first down. They just keep on plucking away. 40 seconds to go in the first, 7-7 tie there at Ford Field in Detroit to kick off Thanksgiving. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at your statement. You go, looks like they're going to get a first down. He's about 4 yards past the sticks.
Do you think I'm used to this? This has been a dreadful organization that all of a sudden is popping on offense. It's just a little odd, no?
Great rebuttal. But, you know, it always drives me nuts when the broadcaster during a game, it's like 48-0, Bama's playing Austin Peay, and they're like, looks like Alabama's going to go to 9-2. Way to go on a limb there, buddy. Austin Peay wouldn't score 48 in 4 weeks against the Crimson Tide, but they got to be, you know, just in case the come from behind it happens.
Jared Goff, I think you would agree with me. Empty calories as far as a quarterback. To me, I put him in the bottom third as far as starting quarterbacks. Again, serviceable, but not somebody you want to build a team around.
One of the best analogies ever utilized in VEASAN history. Jared Goff, empty calories. Wow, that was good. I love that.
Right? I mean, 100%. Drinking soda, you feel like you're getting nourished, but there's just nothing there in the end. It's ridiculous.
People still drink soda?
I think soda exists. Yeah, I think soda still does exist on the planet. You know, you're just a weird cat. You're an anomaly.
I am a weirdo.
You don't drink coffee. You don't listen to music.
I do listen to music. It's not that I don't listen. I just usually...
I don't think you eat meat.
I don't.
Let's see. You fight people at the poker table.
No, I never started. Let's be clear about that. I'm very respectful. Just don't be disrespectful.
And you're the king at talking trash about your coworkers on the air. It's the trifecta.
Hey, I'm the guy who's going to tell you to your face. I'm not a behind the back kind of guy. I'm going to call you out.
That's why I love you. Full disclosure, Shaw is what he's known as here. Of course, he's going to be forthright with you. We're coming back with professional handicapper Mike Somich. He's got a couple of plays, and he's got a pro tip for you. Do you have a pro tip going to break, Kamal Shaw?
I do not. That's Dave Ross's job.
We're back. Lombardi Line, Thanksgiving.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Lombardi Line, sponsored by BetMGM, has been for years the king of sportsbooks. If you're in town there in Vegas, bring your state-issued ID to any MGM property. When you do, you're ready to go within minutes. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app, which has been reconfigured for in-game betting. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. 21 years or older. Looks like the Bills have recovered a fumble by the Lions. That's dreadful as we welcome you back. 7-7 in the second, 13:21 to go. We'll keep you updated there. Amal Shaw alongside Patrick Maher here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Got a busy day here on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving as we welcome in professional handicapper Mike Somich. Amal, you and him were just trading some war stories about playing the 10-20s at the Bellagio, no?
Well, I was just saying, and I don't know if Mike caught my line, you play with some great, great players, and then you got a guy who just read the book on the way in from JFK. You know, he's like, hey, I'm going to go in. And he's a Wall Street guy, doesn't know 2 + 2 = 4, but all of a sudden he's going to come out there and he's the smartest guy in the room because he went to Fuqua and got his MBA and he did his undergrad at Harvard, but he doesn't even realize he's so outgunned, it's not even funny.
It's amazing. You think of rounders when they talk about how we're not playing against each other, but we're not playing with each other either. That is that 10-20 game because you have 4 or 5 pros at every table, and then you've got 4 or 5 fish at every table, and you're just taking your turns, throwing your line out there and seeing what you can hook.
I love the analogy.
Can we just say happy Thanksgiving to Mike Somich, who gets paid nothing to do this, and he joins us on Thanksgiving, a grinder, a friend of mine, and we appreciate you. Professional handicapper, used to live and play at the Bellagio there. Of course, here with a mall there in Vegas. Okay, as we get going, first off, happy Thanksgiving. And then secondly, you looked at the board today and what immediately stood out amongst the three games.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. To me, what jumped out was really the Cowboys-Giants game. It's one of those situations where the Giants season has just been blessed every step of the way. They have the 32-ranked schedule coming into today. It's about to get a lot harder. They've got the Cowboys today. They've got Washington twice. They've got the Eagles left. They've got the Vikings left. So really tough schedule to close out here for the Giants. It feels like their season just turned into a pumpkin here. I think they get absolutely rolled today. Their offensive line is decimated. They're out 3 starters. Their top offensive lineman, Thomas, was sick all week, so he's going to be playing, but he's going to be playing under the weather. That's not a great sign against a elite pass rush that we have from Dallas here. So I think the Cowboys are actually absolutely going to stifle the Giants. The number that jumped out to me was actually the first half. Giants or Cowboys minus six, I feel like, is the best bet in that game. I think the Cowboys get out, they roll early, they're able to put a ton of pressure on Daniel Jones. You saw Saquon Barkley really struggle last week. This is a situation where they're just not going to be able to move the football on the Giants side. I took a little bit of the team total under 16.5, as well as team total under 7.5 in the first half on the Giants side. This feels like the biggest matchup, and you got to thank the NFL for it, right? You put it at 4:30, Cowboys blow them out in the first half, you eat dinner in the second half, and get ready for the late game.
I like that point of view. Mike, I want to ask you specifically about a first half in the NFL. I generally don't do that. College, I'm a big fan of it with certain types of teams, Alabama, you know, those types of teams where you expect them to call off the dogs in the second half. For you in the NFL, how do you kind of gauge which game would be a first half type of play? And I ask that because I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've made a single first half play this year going back years. Usually I'm an entire game kind of guy in the NFL.
In the NFL, I'm looking for first halves for teams that I think the offense has a dominant. I like dogs in the first half, generally like first half unders. When I'm playing a favorite in the first half, it's because I think they're going to struggle to run the ball in the second half when they're up, and then you have that backdoor cover come into play. This is one of those situations where I don't think the Cowboys are going to have their way on the ground. And so specifically in the second half, if they get up 21, they get up 14, I could see them have some pretty empty possessions, which would give the Giants that chance to kind of come back. I don't see it. I'm late the 10 with the Cowboys as well, but I like the first half six better because of the offensive situation here for Dallas.
Where are you both on the Giants? And then we'll move on to the nightcap. I mean, fraudulent walking out of that Detroit game, Amal Shaw, or do you give him a little more credit than that? Daboll's done a hell of a job. Where are you sitting right now with the Giants, Shaw?
I will say this. I think they're under investigation. They're not facing charges yet, but they're right around the corner. This is not a complete fraud of a team. They're a little bit better than that because I think the defense has been solid. The problem in the NFL is, and I think, Mike, you'd probably agree with this, if you don't have the ability to sustain drives, no matter how good your defense plays or how well they play consistently, it is very difficult when you are just have a disproportionate number of plays you're facing from a defensive standpoint. The offenses are better the way the game is officiated, the way the game is played. It's gotten much more astute in terms of making guys chase you, and I think that's where the real challenge lies. I'm not completely signing off on it, but this team may limp into the postseason, and you might see them at 10-7 or 9-8.
Yeah, I agree. I actually was on the Giants over preseason with 6.5 wins, and they're happy they've already cashed it because I'm worried this could go south pretty fast for them here. And you hit the nail on the head there. If you can't stay on the field as an offense, you just face so many plays defensively. Eventually, you're going to get a PI call. Eventually, you're going to get ground down. Eventually, you're going to give up a big play. So you have to have ball possession and ball control. And Dable has done a wonderful job of utilizing what he can here, but the weapons are just, they're falling off like flies here. You got the second string tight end. You lost Robinson last week as well. So it's really just Slayton and nothing outside. Barkley is one of those guys where if you stuff the box and you're able to stop him, all of a sudden this team just doesn't have any way to move the football or sustain a drive. Maybe they can pop a big play every now and then, but they're not able to have that 6-7-8 minute drive that allows your defense to recharge. And so when you have the other offense just coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, eventually things are going to go south.
Yeah, the Giants and Vikings, historic this far into the season as far as winning one-score games. It's been ridiculous if you think about it. Okay, next one up. Let's go. The Patriots at Minnesota, up-down league. You expect a bounce back. I know Amal does from the Vikings here. You're going to target the team total on the Patriots here, Mike.
Yeah, I like the under 20.5 here for the Patriots. I was shocked that the number was this high, but when you have the game total that I think is a little bit high, you're going to get these higher team totals, especially when the line is sub 3 points. This is a case where, look, you look at the average distance of target from Mac Jones. I mean, his numbers aren't terrible, around a 70% completion percentage, but he's throwing the ball 1 or 2 yards down the field.
They don't push They don't push the ball. They don't have a threat. They don't go deep, Mike.
Nothing at all. And when you don't have any type of threat and you're able to play 8 in the box and you're dumping everything off and you're check down Charlie, it's hard to score 21 points in the NFL. And this is a situation, too, where the Patriots defense is so good right now and playing so well that their offense doesn't want to take chances. They want to win games like they did against the Jets last week, where they were trying to rely on their field goal kicker, missed a couple, and then their special teams or defense to make a big play and get them points. I see a very similar situation here. The Vikings lost their top tackle last week to a concussion. He's out today. That's going to mean that this defense is going to be able to tee off on Cousins in the front seven, make it hard for the Vikings to run the ball. All of those things are going to lead to a more conservative offensive scenario here. And I don't think Belichick wants to open it up and try and get into a shootout. So I like the under 20.5 for the Patriots quite a bit.
I love this play, and I think you bring up a lot of good reasons for it. You know, Patrick, to me, when you look at the four units, take away the special teams on both sides, I think the Patriots defense ranks first, probably the Vikings offense second, Vikings defense third, and then the Patriots offense. And I thought Mike made a great point, which is if you're Bill Belichick in a game where you know Mac Jones is just, he's a bus driver and you hope he doesn't hit any potholes or any kids on the way to school, you just hope this guy doesn't mess it up. And you're not going to take any unnecessary risk. You're going to play the field position game. Your defense has been elite the last several weeks. And this quarterback, Kirk Cousins, falls in that realm of Jared Goff. Obviously, he's a little bit better than the backup in Cleveland, kid on NC State. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But to me, when you look at these guys, Zach Wilson, these guys that they've beaten, they're not elite quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, I don't look at as elite. They've got elite playmakers in Cook and Jefferson. But I think if you're New England, you're going to play a conservative game. And look, if you lose this game on the point total, it's one of those you live with the result. There's some bets, Mike, I believe you make. And sometimes if you lose, you lose. And this, to me, is one of those bets on the team total. If it gets there, hey, you know what? Congratulations, Pats. But this game, to me, feels like 20-17 at best. Realistically, probably 17-13.
I'm so glad you said that.
Go ahead, sorry.
Jacoby Brissett, to answer your question. Yeah. And then secondly, I thought the Patriots team total was going to be set 17.5. To Amal's point, and to your point, 20.5. That felt liberal, no, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, when you have the game lined, I think it's like 45 right now is where it's sitting, and it's only a 2.5 or 3 point spread, you're forced to have some of these team totals that in my mind just don't make sense. And so versus betting aside, I don't really think you can trust either of these teams. If it was 3.5, I'd probably lean the Patriots. We might get that. You're starting to see some threes pop up. It did open 3.5 earlier in the week. But when you see two teams you don't really trust, but this point total is so high, you can really focus on, hey, what's the worst unit in the game? And that's clearly the Patriots offense. And because of the points that you've seen from the Vikings in the past, their totals are higher. And so you're getting a higher total with a terrible offense, which is the worst unit in the game. It makes it a lot easier to just target something you can trust. And that's the Patriots offense can't move the ball. And that 20.5 is just, it's high. It's right based on where the game total is, which I also like the under in the game total. But it's still going to end up being a little bit too high.
Patrick,
what'd you see them all there? We got a Josh Allen touchdown. Did you see anything in particular?
I did not. I actually stopped watching the game. I mean, I figured this game, once the turnover came, I thought we were, you know, the avalanche was coming.
Allen fumbles the snap.
I'm liking the second half under in that game. If Buffalo
second half
gets
under?
Up, if Buffalo gets up, I like the second half under there because I don't think that the Detroit is going to be able to move the football and get the trash points that people are going to expect.
We will have that number live here on the Lombardi Line over the next 40 minutes. Quickly, Saquon Barkley set at 72.5. The Giants have a problem because he's starting to wear down. Would you go over or under that rush prop for Barkley sitting at 72.5, Mike?
If I like the Cowboys, I have to play under because he's just not going to get the carries if the Cowboys are up. The game script moves away from him, so I would lean toward the under there.
Well done, Mike Somich, RacingDudes.com, professional handicapper. You and your family enjoy your Thanksgiving, and thanks for doing this, okay?
Yeah, of course, you guys as well. I get to sit up here and watch sports. What could be better, right? Get to stay away from family for a little while.
It can't get much better than that. When we come back, it might get better. Mike Palm, Amal Shah's old partner, joins us next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Amal Shah regaling us with a heartwarming story about the poker table and benevolence on this holiday during the break. As we welcome you back, Black Friday, the offer is there, VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get $30 in credit right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. $30 in credit, which you can spend at the store. You get the cash and tickets. It's what it's all about. You get a VSiN hat. You get whatever you want from the store. Become a VSiN Pro. And again, you get all the tools, the betting splits, everything that's offered, including the World Cup betting guide. Amal Shah did a great job with it. Our next guest, Bon Vivant there, Circa, and of course, VSiN host, and just all around great guy, Mike Palm joins us. And I thought his write-up, I don't know if you saw it, Shah, but I thought Palm's write-up for the betting guide, which you can find VSiN.com/subscribe, was exemplary. Would you like to comment before Mike Palm jumps in?
For the purpose of this segment, let's go with a hard yes.
Okay. And as we say hi to Mike Palm, Mike, I'll just kind of get out of the way and let you do your thing to start here. How are you? And happy Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Patrick. Happy Thanksgiving to my former partner, Amal Shah. So far, no red cards. That was part of the article. Red card situations that warrant a bet. But these first 30, 31, 32, 26 minute no goals when the two teams are equally matched has been, I think, 7-1. So it's a very strong angle. Don't get involved when you have one team that's far superior to the other, like an England matchup or a Spain matchup with Costa Rica. But in the games that are expected to be close, that meaning either it's a straight pick 'em or one team's laying a half goal, that no goal in the first so many minutes has been very profitable so far.
It's a good take there in terms of what it's been. Mike, I want to ask you, we talked about this briefly before we came back on air. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the Portugal-Ghana game. I thought it was one of the most egregious penalty kick calls I've ever seen. And I said, if it wasn't Ronaldo, I don't think the call is made.
Yep.
It isn't made. It's horrible. They didn't go to the monitor to review it. And here's the fact that nobody's going to tell you. If that call isn't made, that game's probably a scoreless draw. But the game totally
Correct.
Opens up because of that. Ghana has to change their style. And we end up
yes.
with five, almost six goals. So it distorted the whole last 35 minutes of the game.
We always talk about that. You can get a goal in the 70th minute and watch out. There could be five goals after 0-0 through 69, right, Palm? Like sometimes that levy breaks and here comes the goals.
Well, you know, when I have, let's say I have an under 2.5 in a game and I'm looking to create a middle, I usually don't wait for the first goal. I like to do it and lay a little price over a half because what you're saying, this domino of one comes and then here they come. And if you get one and then you get two, hopefully you still have time if the end game's live. You can go over 2.5 and at least hedge that first preflop bet, and you've already won your in-game over a half.
Mike makes a great point
there. Have to be concerned about tomorrow, Mr. Palm. Amal and I were discussing this. We haven't had, as far as U.S. men's national team, this is the most talented team. It's the youngest of the 32 countries. But there is something off about the synergy with this team. And Berhalter has seemed, in his years as the manager, has seemed a little overwhelmed. Your thoughts on U.S. men's national team taking on England tomorrow?
Well, we're going to get into the whole Betsgiving thing here, maybe. I don't know if the atmosphere there, I'm all in the casino, it's palpable with all the guests so excited for the Betsgiving race. But, you know, when Danny Burke and I were putting our heads together, because we were a team here, I said I want England minus a goal and a half at the plus price in this game. The bet was rejected. The bet was rejected on the grounds that it was an alternate point spread. And yet in Bill Adee's daily email, Adam Burke has that exact same bet in Betsgiving. So take your baseball bat, Amal, write the T and circle it, because this is an official protest. I haven't heard the Frenchman side of the story, but I'm already very concerned.
I'm trying to stay employed, so I'm going to refrain from commenting.
I forgot you've had the yellow card already.
I have already gotten the yellow card, exactly right.
I want to say, I look at this, I don't think that the U.S. Is really prepared to handle the English attack. We were looking at props since our original play was disqualified of anytime goal scorer for England. And I said to Danny, because he's got the access to the DraftKings, he's even DraftKings State in Illinois, give me Sterling and give me Harry Kane, and I want to look at the prices. Harry Kane is like minus 105 to score any time, which tells you, and first of all, he's even going to play, but which tells you that the public believes America will take another penalty, because Kane will take the penalty shot for them as well. We ended up going with Sterling at 2-1 anytime for our play tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, Raheem's the perfect guy, right? Because he's not going to give a defensive effort. And only when the ball is moving forward is he going to run and show you that full speed. So he's the perfect guy to go for a goal score.
And may I just say, in defense, Zimmerman's completely overrated. He gave up the weak penalty kick to Bale. And Tim Ream's 35 years old. That's our weakness, Palm. I think Zimmerman's overrated.
I would agree with you there. And I don't think they'll be able to contend with the speed on the attack when England gets the ball moving that way. Kane, by the way, very underrated as a passer. Harry Kane will put the ball right there for their gunners, and all they'll have to do is hit it in, because they will get behind the defense.
Yeah, he always does a great job of getting the ball to Son around mid-pitch, and then he only takes it the entire length of the field and then puts it in.
Son gets a lot of those assists from Kane, and you're 100% right. Mike Palm, first off, again, happy Thanksgiving. You got your family there, I know. With you, just thoughts overall on the holiday. I know you always have something prescient to say here.
I said something, and it was a very surreal moment yesterday on Follow the Money. And at the end of it, while I was talking, Japan scored the equalizer against Germany. So as soon as I was done, simultaneously and without rehearsal, both Mitch and Paul screamed, "Go!" It was like, you know, a deep drive to left, Castellanos moment. But for this Thanksgiving, my thought is about, it's a day of thanks, but how about of giving thanks, but how about a day of giving back? I look at so many situations in life and think, how fortunate am I, and there but for the grace of God go I. I mean, look at how many people have lost their job through pandemic or have lost their job because of the current economic conditions. Look at how many people have children that have challenges, whether it's a mental capacity challenge or it's a physical a challenge, and the patience they have to go through, these parents raising these kids and keeping their spirits up. And I just think this year at this holiday, we should think about, how are we going to give back in the coming year to help those that are unfortunate through no fault of their own?
Mike, that might be the best thing ever said at Beeson. I echo your exact sentiments, and you put it so well and so nicely in terms of, there's so many people that are always a little bit less fortunate than you. You know, for me, Mike, you know my passion and this love for this country. And I always think about that. If you're fortunate enough to be here, and you're probably in a pretty decent position, even if you're not, there's still an opportunity maybe to get better. But there's always somebody maybe in a little bit worse off position. Take a minute maybe to help somebody out, lend a helping hand, just in any capacity. It's not always about monetary giving. Sometimes it's just time, maybe an ear for somebody to listen. And if you could just do that a little bit more in this coming year and this holiday season, I think there'd be so many people that'd be grateful.
Well, Amal,
I can't even add to it.
Amal lives that philosophy, because people think Amal, you know, they see his on-screen persona or radio persona, and he's combative and he gets fired up and all that. But Amal treats everybody around him with such grace and class. So, I mean, he walks the walk as well as what he's saying here this morning.
You both do. You're both very altruistic guys that kind of present yourself in a little different manner, which is why I think you're both so interesting. Okay, we do have a touchdown, so pending extra point, we could be tied up at 14, Mr. Shaw, Mr. Palm. Mr. Palm, we got 2 minutes, so let's look ahead. You got Dallas laying 10. You've got Minnesota laying 3. Is there anything about those two later that stand out to you?
I bet the under in the late game, Patrick. I think this is a good matchup. Under 42.5 yesterday. Look, New England doesn't have Tony Pollard. They don't have anybody with that kind of speed. They're going to break down the Minnesota defense. And now you have this average quarterback in Kirk Cousins that played with some confidence for a stretch here, because Minnesota's won all the close games. What happened last Sunday with Dallas was, that's got to set everybody back a little bit here. So, you know, Belichick will be very good. He'll do whatever he can to take Jefferson away. Will they be able to run the football? I don't know. Mac Jones in this offense leaves a lot to be desired. The special teams erased an ugly performance on offense by them against the Jets last week. I think this game actually gets played in the – this is a 17-14, 17-13 kind of game.
Hey, by the way, you know, Mike said some very nice things about me, Patrick, and I really appreciate it, and I echo the same sentiments. But if I may take one shot at both of you, Detroit just scored a touchdown. Patrick, you haven't seen too much of that in your 44 years of life. Mike, coming from the state of Iowa, watching that Iowa offense, unless it's Chuck Long and Hayden Fry, hasn't seen much of that in a couple of decades. So I hope you guys had an opportunity to see that touchdown.
Hey, Chuck Long was drafted by
the Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions. Nice.
Why do you think he didn't score much?
No, they were. It was too...
Closest vote in Heisman history, Bo Jackson over Chuck Long in 85. But, hey, Amal, I know you've been critical of Kirk Ferentz. You have to take your cap off for what he's done with one of the worst offenses in the country. He's a 10-point favorite to win tomorrow and go to the Big Ten championship game yet again.
You know what, Mike? You're right about that. But if they could just get a semblance of some offense, they could be a far better team than they are, because their defense is elite year after year after year.
Mike Palm, we appreciate you, and happy Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You can read Mike Palm, that World Cup betting guide, right now. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Get it before USA England tomorrow.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent, thank you. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app.
Again, it's redesigned to improve features and quicker navigation. That's good for in-game. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, of course, the Detroit score, they just got stopped at the one. So it's going to be fourth and goal. Campbell with the decision to make, down 14-7. Again, betting's premier loyalty program. BetMGM, the king of sportsbook. This happens every freaking year to the Lions, where all of a sudden we don't even know why that touchdown was pulled back. You got to be 21 years or older. It's 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Shout to BetMGM. And that's just, it's just, we don't even know. Nobody even at the studio understands what happened. Detroit ties it 14-14. They bring it back. They must have got a first down on it, but now it's 14-7, fourth and goal. You know Campbell's going to go for it here.
Yeah, there's no decision here. They went for it earlier on this drive at their own 35-yard line. This is an absolute no-brainer. The one thing is, though, you got a full yard here you've got to get. I'm kind of curious what the play call is going to be. I think you're probably right, and you are correct. Wow, beautiful play. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Hey, did I not call that? I know this team too well because the expectation was for the Bills defense, they were going to run the ball with Williams. They play action, shove it in his belly, and a really nice pass from Goff. I got to give him credit.
That was a perfect throw and like the play. Unlike his brother, Equanimeous St. Brown, he can catch it at least.
Well done with the name. Hey, by the way, did you know? So 14-14, Buffalo's going to have plenty of time coming back the other way. We're just under that two-minute warning. We should still be, we may not be here to set up the second half number, but Kelly Bidlin and Jeff Parles will be along the way here on VSiN. By the way, when you hear Brent Musburger welcoming us back on the air, does it give you flashbacks? For those that don't know, all the way back to 2017, the inception of VSiN, you started working with the legend in Brent Musburger.
Yeah, in that fall of that year. I have to tell you, working with the legend, obviously, unto itself is just amazing, but Brent is such a everyday guy and such great guy and such a depth of knowledge on sports in general. Brent had a great line. He kind of had like a Ted Williams line to me one time. I asked him, I said, Brent, he didn't want to work on 60 Minutes because he used to do local news before he was in sports and, has a tremendous array of knowledge. And he goes, Amal, I am 80 plus years old.
It doesn't matter. When you're hanging out with them, you get the impression is you're hanging out with a dude that's 50 years old that's sharper than anybody. It's incredible.
It was funny because I asked him about this. He was doing CBS, the NFL Today. I thought, he'd be a perfect guy for 60 Minutes because he's so well-read and well-versed. But they made the comment, it was like the old Ted Williams line. Hey, Ted, would you hit 400 today? He goes, no, I'm 70 years old.
that's the tie-in. Yeah. I love that. I didn't know that one from Williams. And I will say this, a shout out on a Thanksgiving here. We give thanks, of course. Yeah. VSiN coming up on January 9th, Amal, as you know, we're spreading out across the country to over 300 radio channels to cement our legacy as the number one gambling channel, not just on television, but across all terrestrial, as far as radio is concerned, the place to go to for your sports and information network. So congratulations to everybody at VSiN behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And while we're at it, just want to thank everybody that's involved, not only with this show today, working on the holiday, but I know there's a couple of guys back there. I apologize. I'm not familiar with their names, but Stephen, Mikhail, and then my guy, Andrew, Mr. Wisconsinite. I expect anybody from Minnesota and Wisconsin to be extremely kind and courteous. That's who they are. But my man, Andrew, is as good of a human being as you'll meet. And I believe, I know you're a big dog guy, and I believe him and his girlfriend recently just picked up a dog from Animal Rescue. So always appreciate that anytime anybody does that.
Absolutely. Andre and Sergio, Stephen Bond, the whole crew back there. If you're not working on Thanksgiving, you're not a big-time host or producer. That's what it comes down to. This is a day you must work. Three games across the NFL. If you're not working, I got you, Amal. Don't worry about that. Hey, by the way, do you know the biggest upset on Thanksgiving?
In terms of the spread?
The Dolphins were 10-point dogs. Remember Leon Lett
game, the Snow Bowl.
Back in 93 snow there at Texas Stadium. Remember a 16, I think it was 16-14. I can't remember off the top. Maybe 16-14 win for the Dolphins catching 10.
Yeah, absolutely. The one where Leon Lett touched the ball after the missed field goal, and now we see everybody run away from it like it's an IED.
Why is injury there to Von Miller as he's being carted off to the locker room? Maybe some sort. I didn't see the injury actually go down. So we'll keep you updated as Josh Allen and the Bills coming back the other way. It looks like they do have two timeouts, a minute 46
we're not
going to
really
tied
need him.
Oh, my goodness. Is he going to score here on this play? Is that Diggs?
By the way, they had to be a minus number to score in the final 2 minutes here with three, at that time, two timeouts.
Okay, we'll keep you updated. Tied at 14-14, a minute 30 to go. They're not going to call timeouts here. They want to grind this clock as they get into plus territory there on the Lions 49. Allen looks healthy. I don't know about you, but he looks healthy to me, the way he's moving. Of course, the shoulder's been an issue as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you. He's dangerous. I think he's probably the second best quarterback in the NFL right now. I'll tell you what, that dude in Kansas City, he's a different kind of dude. I mean, I watch Chiefs games just to watch 15. When Chiefs are on defense, I don't even pay attention to the game. For me, it's just to watch Mahomes. Whether it's going to be a normal throw, whether he's going to go down like a little sidewinder or something. I mean, he is just amazing in terms of what he's able to do.
And he's going to get Perkins under center for the Rams at Kansas City. Kansas City, by the way, they've had the toughest schedule to date.
Really?
They've got the softest schedule to close out the year. I don't know if they're going to lose the rest of the way. Go ahead and take a look for fun. And Kansas City's laying 15.5 hosting the Rams. That is a mismatch. The Rams are a disaster right now.
To Patrick's point, at the Bengals, at the Broncos, at the Texans, 3-week stretch on the road, but no real difficulty there. And then you close out Seahawks, Broncos, at Raiders. So real opportunity there. And I think that game in week 18 now, the 17th game of the season, will mean something unless Buffalo drops a couple of more games along the way. It drops 100%. At least one more.
We'll keep you updated as you've got the Bills. Looked like about 44 seconds. Let's get the clock up. Yeah, 35 seconds. They're tied 14. They do have two timeouts. They're on the Lions. Looks to be the 37. First and 10. Here comes Allen with an overthrow. So 26 seconds, second and 10, Lions 37. We'll keep you updated. Coming up later here, the Giants at the Cowboys. Again, they've been bad. They being the Cowboys, they've lost 6 of 8 on Thanksgiving. They've lost 3 straight. They're 1-10 ATS, their last 11, the Cowboys, on Thanksgiving. But the elixir is the Giants. The Cowboys 10-1 straight up, 9-2 ATS, their last 11 overall against the Giants. Do you have a play with Dallas laying 10 and a total of 45.5?
I do not. I'm more focused in on college basketball right now. Got a couple of good matchups. Took the Trojans today, catching 8.5 against Tennessee. Took Ole Miss as well against Stanford, laying 1.5. So for me, I'm a little bit more focused on that. Look for some in-game opportunities. Should be a great game. Real quickly, Patrick, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know the NFL extremely well. You know, you never put yourself out there. You're a very humble guy. Last year, you had the Rams winning the Super Bowl before the season started. Who do you like in both conferences to get through to the Super Bowl?
By the way, did you see, was that a 25-step drop for Allen?
I did not see the play.
Did you see that? That was unbelievable. You can't bet against Kansas City.
I would agree with you.
Are you going to bet against Kansas? You know what's interesting about what you said about Mahomes is he's been the best player in the NFL for 4 or 5 years, and he's going to win the MVP this year.
Yeah.
But the last two MVPs went to Rodgers. But underneath all of the talk about Allen and the quarterback here for the Chargers and Herbert, Mahomes has been the best player. And it's almost like he's been overlooked. That's how virtuoso and brilliant he's been.
I tell you, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, Andy Reid, with the play designs in the red zone, particularly inside the 5 to 7 yard line, the way they get Kelce open, maybe an inside screen, a little curl. I mean, it's unbelievable, their play calling.
It really is.
I'm with you on Kansas City. I want to go to the NFC. Who do you like? Right now, by the way, Chiefs to win the Super Bowl plus 450. Buffalo, the favorite at 4-1.
Buffalo's still your favorite, and then we start to get into, give me 3 and 4 right now if you're looking at DraftKings numbers. Do you have 3 and 4?
Yeah, Eagles 6-1 and 49ers 650, Cowboys 9-1, and okay. Then drop off at Ravens 12-1.
So the reason I asked you is because I was curious where those numbers right now sat with the 49ers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're not the most talented on paper team in the NFL right now.
I would agree with
that. 49ers. They were sitting 5-4, and that was such a misleading win-loss. That's why sometimes you can't go with win-loss. But this team right now, even with your boy Garoppolo, I just think defensively they're just on another level. I think they're better than the Cowboys defensively. I think the 49ers would be my team to come out of the NFC.
I like your point on the 49ers from a defensive standpoint. I'm not completely ready to sign off that they're better than Dallas defensively, because I think
maybe not as fast as Dallas, but I think they're just up front. They're up there.
I mean, you're splitting hairs, but to me, the difference is getting McCaffrey. What he's able to do in the run game with Debo and with Kittle, this team is elite. They're absolutely elite.
We're going to have a field goal attempt here with 5 seconds to go to take us into the break. Remember, Kelly and Jeff are coming up next, so they'll set you up on the second half number with Detroit hosting Buffalo to kick off Thanksgiving.
Are they going to get the kick in before we say goodbye? If you have it ahead of me, go ahead.
No, they're not going to, because Detroit's going to take a timeout. I'm almost certain.
They're going to ice them?
Yeah.
46-yard attempt, tied at 14. 5 seconds to go. Will we get it in? That is the question. The answer is yes. Is it good?
Right down
Broadway.
The answer
is yes. 17-14. Happy Thanksgiving.